The first thing that I wanted to say, and I kind of skipped on and go to the second point, but the first thing is adherence to the dietary laws, right? So how do we translate that into the day? That means you got to eat healthy, right? You can't eat 24/7 ho-hos and ding-dongs all day, right? No, you gotta drink your water. You have to, you know, eat your vegetables. You have to, you know, try to have a healthy diet. Now, again, that does that mean that we can't have a piece of cheesecake or a piece of chocolate cake? No, that's not talking about that, right? But when God gave them these dietary laws, he gave them to him. In Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 through 47, God gave these laws because he knew that if they had a proper diet, that they would be...
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, from our series, The Names of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Yahweh Rapha, the Lord.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to the Sunday morning message from the pulpit of Bethany Baptist Church. We've been studying the names of God, and this one, a name that we come to today, is a name that's greatly needed in our country. We're looking at Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. And as we think about COVID and how that over 200,000 people have lost their lives in this country. We think of millions of people who have contracted the virus, and that people are dealing with illness and people are dealing with sickness. It's a good thing that we know that there is one who steps about outside the bounds of the normal hospitals, that there is one who steps outside the boundaries of doctors and nurses, that there is one who steps outside of situations where people go for different fixes, that there is a God who sits in heaven, but this God who sits in heaven, he walks low. And this God who walks low has a name, and his name is Yahweh Rapha. You know, we've been talking about how to experience the fullness of God. And we know that God is one God. But he has revealed himself by various names in the scripture. And so today we want to look at that one that deals with our sicknesses, that deals with our illnesses. I know when people ask me to pray, and especially if it's somebody that's going in for surgery, or if it's someone who's dealing with a sickness and they have to go to the hospital, or if they have, even if they're at home and they're sick, when I pray, I put in my mind Yahweh Rapha, the God that heals. Because at that time, you really don't need the God who provides, even though he's a provider. Even you don't need the God who shepherds, even though he's a God that shepherds. You don't need a God of peace, even though he's a God of peace. What you need at that particular time is you need the God who has the power. You need the God who has the ability to be able to touch your body and to heal it in a special way. Now, we're going to say some things about Yahweh Rapha today, and we're even going to look at the end of the message, what happens when we don't experience healing? What happens when we continue to deal with our illness? You know, what's going on in those times? What dynamics are taking place there? So we're going to look at that also. But in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, the scripture says, "And I said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord," this is Moses speaking, "if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and give ear to his peace and his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." I'm the Lord that healeth thee. We see in Exodus chapter 15, the nation of Israel had just come out of Egypt, and they had just crossed the Red Sea. And in verse 1, as they praise God for bringing them through the Red Sea, they came up with a song. And this song was the number one song in the hit charts in the wilderness at this time. It says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea." So this song, like I said, was the number one song of Israel at this time. And they were singing this song as they came out of the Red Sea. And they were praising God for what he had did, how he parted the waters. And as he parted the waters, he let them walk through on dry land. And then after all of them had walked through, and the Egyptian army was in pursuit, God allowed the waters to come back together and drown Pharaoh and his army. And so here they have rejoicing exceedingly, excited about what God had done. And then we see that they came to a place. Now, can you imagine that here they were coming through the Red Sea, but they couldn't drink the water, right? And so they were thirsty. And so as they came out of the Red Sea, they came to a place called Marah. And in verse 22, it says, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and went there 3 days in the wilderness, and found no water." And found no water. They had just come out of the sea where there was a bunch of water. And for 3 days they traveled, but they could not find any water. And verse 23 says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah because they were bitter." And so they named those waters Marah. 3 days they traveled. 3 days they were looking for water. And finally they came to the place, and somebody must have spotted it afar off and said, "Oh, I see Marah. I see water." And as they rushed to the place where they could drink the water, the first person drank, the second person drank, and they probably said, "Oh, man, this water is bitter." And they began, as many people. Now, God had just brought them through the Red Sea. And they should have, you know, that praise should have lasted them for 3 years. But it didn't even last for 3 days. Because now they're complaining. They're complaining because they don't have any water, and the water that they have is bitter. And so God speaks to Moses. And he says in verse 24, it says, and when the people murmured against Moses, and they said, "What shall we drink?" And the Lord and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue of an ordinance and tested them there. So he told Moses, "Look, there's a branch." And so Moses takes the branch and he throws it into the bitter waters. And when he threw it into the bitter waters, they became sweet, and the people were able to drink of the waters. What a mighty God we serve. That this God is able to take bitter waters and make them sweet. And so that's what he did for them. And then he tells them, if they will obey, if you just do what I say, man, I have so many blessings for you. That if you just do what the word tells you to do, that there are so many blessings that are lined up for you. And God says that even one of the blessings that he has for them is, oh, somebody Pray with me here. Even one of the blessings that he has for them is healing. That God says in verse 26, he says, "And if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes," he says, "I will put none of these diseases upon you." Well, what diseases that he's talking about? He says right here, "which I have brought unto the Egyptians." So look at some of the diseases that they had to deal with. They had to deal with lice and flies and pestilence. You know, that word pestilence is almost like virus. You know, that they were dealing with viruses like we're dealing with today. Boils. They had to deal with hail. They had to deal with locusts. They had to deal with darkness. That God said, "I will put none of these plagues on you." And then he says, why is that? He said, "because I am Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals." Now, this word Rapha, sometimes it's translated Rophi, or you know, sometimes it's translated Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, and then other times it's translated Rophi, R-O-P-H-E. But the fact of the matter is that it means, this word Rapha, it means to heal. It means to make whole again. I like one meaning of the word. It says to heal by stitching. That whenever there's been a cut, whenever there's been a tear, that God heals by stitching. Another one, it means to repair. It means to go in and fix something. The word Rapha, not, you know, so the sense is it's broader than just a healing, but it's a completeness. It's a wholeness. It's the fact that God is able to take care of whatever illness, whatever sickness, whatever disease that you have, that we have a God who's able to touch our bodies. Now, I know what some of you are going to say. You're going to say, "well, where is this God, you know, when my child died? Where was this God when my relative got sick? You know, where was this God when my close friend got ill and didn't get healed, right? Where was this God at then?" And so we're going to talk about that. That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question, because God said that he is the God who heals. And so if this is the God that we serve, then we realize that there's healing that's available to us. Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals. Yahweh Rapha. What type of healing does he provide? He provides physical healing. We see in 2 Kings chapter 5 in verse 10 that Elijah told Naaman, who had leprosy, to go down and wash in the Jordan River. And he went down and washed in the Jordan River, and guess what? God healed him of his leprosy. So God can heal us physically. God can heal us emotionally. Maybe there's some emotional issues that we're dealing with. Psalm 34:18 says that God is able to heal the brokenhearted. What a mighty God we serve. God is able to heal those dealing with mental issues. We see in Daniel chapter 4 that Nebuchadnezzar had lost his mind. He lost his mind. And he went out into the field and he ate grass with the animals. For 7 years he ate grass out there. He had this condition, it was called lycanthropy, which means that he began to think like an animal. And he also took on the characteristics of an animal. And we see at the end of the days, at the end of the 7 years, God healed his mind. And so we serve a God that's able to heal us physically, emotionally, mentally, And most importantly, he's able to heal us spiritually, right? We all have had a sickness in our soul. And that sickness in our soul is called sin. But God is able to touch that sickness, even touch that we might have spiritual healing. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. God, in his love, he has touched me spiritually. He has touched me emotionally. He has touched me from the standpoint of dealing with mental issues. That God is a healing God, that he's able to heal. Let me share with you three types of healing. Well, actually, four types of healing that I want to share with you today. And this, you know, as I think about this, man, you know, God has provided for us in every way possible. He has even provided for our healing. Four things, or four ways, that God heals. The first way is what I call preventative healing. And this is where he has given us stuff. He has given us stuff to keep us from getting sick. That in the Word, that God has put things in place that if we will follow them. Now I know the first thing somebody's gonna say, oh, that's Old Testament. Oh, that was for the Israelites. No, just think about even today, some of these things, that if we do them, it will keep us from getting sick. You know, let me give you one that's very obvious for today. He told the Israelites in Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through 22, that they had to have proper cleansing and proper hygiene. Oh. Now, what's one of the things that they're telling you that you got to do in the midst? I mean, you should be doing it anyways before COVID happened, right? But especially since COVID happened, what's the one thing that they're telling you got to do? That you got to wash your hands. You got to wash your hands, right? Well, God already told the Israelites that. He said that if you want to be healthy, if you want to be well, that you have to exercise proper cleansing and proper hygiene. Now, I know that was a second point on my PowerPoint, but I just wanted to jump to that right away, because that lets you know, for those who say, well, you know, that's Old Testament, that was for then. No, you know, this is timeless, right? This is timeless, some of these things. And so preventative healing, God says, keep clean, exercise hygiene. The first thing that I wanted to say, and I kind of skipped on and go to the second point, but the first thing is adherence to the dietary laws, right? So how do we translate that into today? That means you got to eat healthy, right? You can't eat 24/7 ho-hos and ding-dongs all day, right? No, you got to drink your water. You have to, you know, eat your vegetables. You have to, you know, try to have a healthy diet. Now, again, does that mean that we can't have a piece of cheesecake or a piece of chocolate cake? No, that's not talking about that, right? But when God gave them these dietary laws, he gave them to him. In Leviticus chapter 11, verses 1 through 47, God gave these laws because he knew that if they had a proper diet, that they would be healthy. And so God, Yahweh Rapha, the God who heals, he's telling them, I know how to heal you before you even get sick, if you just listen to me, right? If you just listen to me. You know, I've shared on many occasions that I'm dealing with diabetes, right? And one of the things about diabetes, you got to change your diet, right? You have to change your diet. And it's something amazing that when you change your diet and when you start doing what you're supposed to do, that for the most part, now I'm not going to say in every situation, but for the most part, your numbers are going to go down, right? And you're going to get healthy. Why? Because you're doing what God said. God said, eat a healthy diet. Another thing in this preventative healing is the proper disposal of human excrement. And so what was he saying? God told them, look, so I don't mean to offend anybody today, right? But I'm just gonna tell you like a T.I. is, right? God said, don't do your business in the camp, right? When it comes time to do your business, go outside the camp. You know, dig holes outside the camp and then cover it up when you get done. Well, why did he say that? He knew that because if you did it in the camp, that it was susceptible to bring disease. So he said, don't do it here. And so when we think about even what God has given us today and in the system that we have to take care of things, what a mighty God we serve, that we can do those things that keep those diseases from coming around us. And then this last one, I know I'm going to make some folk mad when we talk about the preventative, and that is in Leviticus chapter 18, verses 1 through 30, he said you have to maintain sexual purity. Why? Because, you know, back then, just like it is today, there were diseases going around. And you just couldn't, you know, do any and everything that you wanted to do. God said that if you maintain sexual purity, that I will keep you healthy. I will keep you whole. And so when we think about the types of healing that Yahweh Rapha brings, the first one is what I call preventative. That God says if you do these things that I've built into this economy called earth or life, I've built into it things that will protect you from getting sick. I'm talking about the God who heals this morning. I'm talking about Yahweh Rapha, preventative. And then the second type of healing that we see is natural healing. So let me read to you what I have on the slide. When the Lord created human beings, he put within them the incredible power to heal. Whenever there is an injury to the body or even surgery, some of y'all have had surgery, right? Or surgery is performed, God has put healing in the body so that the body can heal. That even when you get surgery and you've been cut on, just think, the doctors can cut you open and they can stitch you up. But just, if it was just the, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. If it was just the doctors cutting you open and stitching you up, all you would be a cut person with stitches in them. And that's it. But what happens? The healing power that God put in the body, it begins to take over. It begins to bring the flesh, and it begins to bring the skin together, and it causes a healing. The doctors can't do that.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.